It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
We're going to have our wall. And we're going to get it very strongly. The military is going to be building some of it. So we're working out systems now, and we called out the National Guard. But I'll tell you what, the laws of this country have to be strengthened and toughened up. And we have the more normalized drug problem, and a lot of that comes through the southern border, and that's one of the other reasons we're being very strong with the National Guard and with the wall. We have the worst laws. You ever think catch and release, which we're terminating very quickly. We're doing it in pieces. We're working very hard on NAFTA. We get it done right or we'll terminate.
That's the President of the United States speaking in West Virginia yesterday. You might have seen the part where he threw his notes away and he said, oh, if I read that, it would just be boring. So let me just talk to you. That's the President. I think that's probably why people like him. He speaks from his heart. And he seems to know what he thinks, you know, and actually says what he thinks. And it is refreshing. Well, I'm back with you. Yes, I'm in person, in the flesh. This is not pre-recorded. I'm with you. I hope you enjoyed. I can't think that you wouldn't enjoy the hosting of Fred Jackson and Matt Barber. I want to thank them profusely for filling in so faithfully and bringing you the news so that you didn't miss a beat, did you? And we worked really hard to pre-record lots of really good shows for you. Like the movie Chappaquiddick that came out Wednesday, you had, you know, we talked with the producer the day it came out, and a number of other pre-tapes that I hope you enjoyed that helped you stay, you know, in touch with what's going on and allowed me to be gone. Where was I? I was in Scotland. I was in St. Andrews, Scotland. That's where my son is studying. There are like three colleges in St. Andrews. St. Andrews is the oldest university in Scotland. And it is just an amazing place. My son is studying at the College of St. Mary. He's studying theology, getting his PhD, and that means he'll be there for 3 years. And he basically reads and writes. That's what he does. That's what he loves to do. He's written 4 books now. He loves to write, and he is a really fine speaker. He and his wife attend the Vineyard Church, of all things, in St. Andrews, which the Vineyard, you know, is kind of a I don't know if you'd call it charismatic. They certainly believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, which I guess call me charismatic then also. Great church. We visited twice, Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. We watched a baptism in the North Sea after the service on Easter Sunday. It was so cold. The pastor had to wear a wetsuit, and it was so wonderful to see God at work in that part of the world. You know, St. Andrews, Scotland is one of the many sites of the Reformation where so much happened there to break the power of the Catholicism. In fact, there's a cathedral that's just a few minutes walk, really, from my son's house. By the way, they live right by the North Sea. And in the morning, if any of you watch Doc Martin, do you watch Doc Martin? Rob, are you listening to me? Do you watch Doc Martin on BBC?
I do not. I hate to admit that, but well, I do not.
It's like a little coastal village, and you hear the seagulls constantly. That's where it is. That's the way it is at St. Andrews. But if you just walk to the shore, which is less than 5 minutes from my son and his wife's house, you walk along the North Sea there, and you're at the ruins of this St. Andrews Cathedral, which John Knox, who was the founder of the Reformation in Scotland, he had studied with the Reformers, with Luther, and was based in Geneva. Then he goes back to his native Scotland. He preaches the gospel, you know, and it splits the church wide open. And the people marched out to the Church of St. Andrews on the North Sea and burned it down. So and then there are two different places in St. Andrews where people were martyred, were burned to death, burned alive. And there's a commemoration on the sidewalks of where you see them. So the history there is just incredible, certainly for the church, and of course Scotland and most of the UK is not my experience that I just described with my son at their church in the Vineyard is not typical. Scotland and England are post-Christian. They really are. That doesn't mean they're not strong believers, but they are post-Christian. And so that's not going to be the normal experience if you visit Great Britain. But yet there are men of God at work preaching the gospel, and God is at work. The worship service on Easter Sunday morning at the Vineyard was just phenomenal. It was phenomenal. My son is now one of their preachers, so he rotates in the cycle. And you know, I have to say, could I ask for more? I ask for more?
That's awesome, Sandy. That's just that's a blessing for a mom every day, any day.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, I mean, that's answered prayer, no question about it. And God is doing a work in my son's life. It has nothing to do with me. It's like when you give life to a child, you give birth to any child. It doesn't take long to figure out they're an individual with their own mind, you know.
No, that's right.
Yeah, and so it is spiritually, you know, so it is spiritually. My son had to find the Lord, even though, of course, he'd heard about it from the time he was little. I always emphasized to him that just because his mother had been called and loved God, that he was going to have to make that decision himself. I couldn't do it for him. So he certainly did it, and I see God at work in his life. And just a personal note, Rob, I've been gone for 2 weeks. That's the longest I've been off the air since I've been with American Family Radio, and I really do appreciate Tim Wildman letting me take this time off. I have to say, I am the only, there are a lot of people that do talk shows, so I certainly am expendable anytime, any place, but I'm the only grandmother for these four children, and my daughter-in-law's mother died, actually, right before our first grandchild was born, so I really am the only grandmother for these four kids. And I appreciate my listeners just allowing me to go away and to bond with those kids. I just unplugged completely from the news. I watched a little bit. I mean, I would see things here and there because I needed at least have some knowledge. But for the most part, I was completely devoted to them. And it's Moses, who's 9, and Kate's 6, Asa 4, and Lucy. And of course, I try to teach them as I try to teach their dad, and it is such a privilege. I can't tell you, Rob. I am so blessed, and I thank all of my listeners again for faithfully, you know, listening and enjoying what we provided for you while I was gone, and letting me take that time away.
I'm excited for you, Sandy. I know it was a good break, and you know, we have to get away from all the stress of dealing with this lousy news. To be honest, most days we're dealing with a lot of stuff that we really would like to be praising God and instead of telling the truth about what's going on in our society. And we know God's working in everything, we just trust in Him and just share the truth and His truth with everybody. And sometimes a break like you just had is definitely well needed, and I'm just thankful you were able to.
Yeah. The one thing I discovered is that the news just keeps coming, even if I'm here or not here. It doesn't seem to pay any attention to what I say or what I do, but it just keeps coming. So here I am catching up now on 2 weeks of lost news. Adam, did you have any questions before I go on? And because I am going to talk about the news this morning.
No, I think I'm good. I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that we were very glad that you're back.
Oh, well, thank you. Thanks. I'm glad I'm back, too, and glad I'm back healthy. So one last thing. We left probably 36 hours ago. We, in the middle of the night, we got up at 4:30 and left St. Andrews, and my poor husband had to drive in the sleet. The weather in St. Andrews, not exactly the best weather in the world. It's really raining a lot and cold, oh my goodness, right on the North Sea. So it was dark and sleeting as we drove. My poor husband drove on the left side of the road on the little tiny narrow roads that lead to Edinburgh. So that was the beginning of the day. And then we flew Our plane was delayed. We had 3-hour delay in Newark, New Jersey, and then we landed back in our home. And when my husband went to get the car in remote parking, they had towed it because they were working on the parking lot.
Oh,
so they towed all the cars that had been in there. So we ended up traveling. It took us 24 hours to get back home.
Oh,
it was
wow.
kind of funny.
Goodness.
Yeah, 24 hours. But we got back safely. We feel like God answered every prayer for safety and travel, for us to be a blessing to our kids, our big ones and our little ones. We lived in very close quarters. They lived in a small place, and so they've got 4 kids. And the 2 of them and the 2 of us, we slept on a blow-up mattress in a tiny little closet. Like my husband would have to get up and go and to sleep in one of the kids' beds just to really sleep. It was funny, but that's what we did, and that's more information than probably people want. But I want my listeners to know that's where I was, and again, I appreciate all of your patience on us being gone that long. Thanks, Rob and Adam.
Welcome back. Now, yeah, and there's some news, Sandy.
Oh yes, that. You know, this morning there are 3 things I want to talk to you about primarily, and I don't think I'm gonna have time for those clips because otherwise we're gonna be. I don't need to tell you that there was a caravan of illegal immigrants that's been moving their way up through Central America, and it's in excess of 1,000, and they were organized by a group called People Without Borders. It was called a caravan. It was about 1,200 to 1,500 migrants, and of course, it's engineered to sort of really undermine whatever small little vestige of border we have on the southern front. Mexico was pretty much allowing this group to do this. It was becoming a big showdown when President Trump a few days ago said, no way, we're sending the military to the border. You're not going to get away with this. And they've been pressuring, by the way, the Trump administration to get Mexico to do something about this, to stop this invasion on the southern border. And Mexico, by the way, has done that. Mexico decided, I'm going to read to you from the Daily Signal, which is a Heritage Foundation publication that comes out every day. This is what they say, that President Trump worked with the Mexican government to get them to help stop the group's movement north, and then announced he would use our military to secure the border. The first part went perfectly. The Mexicans, recognizing their sovereignty was being trampled also, and not wanting a huge dust-up on the U.S.-Mexican border, actually swiftly and correctly, they acted swiftly and correctly. So that's a big deal. That is a big deal. Mexico intervened. And so, according to the Daily Signal, score 1 for the Trump administration's hemispheric diplomacy and U.S.-Mexican cooperation. And, of course, now the troops, the National Guard, are headed down to the border. The president issued a directive on this just a few days ago that I wanted to read parts of it for you. This was, I believe, Wednesday. The Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security have been directed to work together with our governors to deploy the National Guard to our southwest border. We will not allow illegal immigration levels to become the norm. More than 1,000 people a day illegally cross our border, 300,000 a year. Violating our sovereignty as a nation will never be acceptable to this president. Now, that's part of a very long document that is coming right from the White House. They're talking about Congress failing to act again, doing nothing again, failing to build the border wall again. And so it goes through the history of people coming across the border and how it's changed. So the National Guard is headed down there, as I'm sure you're hearing in the news. The way this is going to work is they will not be law enforcement because there are federal laws. Posse Comitatus Act, I think is what it's called. Sorry, I don't use that word very often. They are not allowed to use guns and enforce, but they will be taking up the duties of border patrol that keeps them from actually doing their job of, you know, being armed and stopping whatever kind of invasion might take place. But it's going to happen. They're going to stop this. This group, the Open Borders group, is planning on, you know, breaching this again. They have plans for us. And, of course, they're funded by a lot of our friends here in the United States that we often talk about, who are not our friends, who are trying to undermine our sovereignty, destroy our country. So it's a battle, and too bad we don't have a Congress that actually cares and helps the president. I have lots more to say. I want to talk about Scott Pruitt, and I also want to talk about your email and Facebook, so don't go away. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard me talking about MediShare, but now I give you my friend Sherry.
Yes, I have loved MediShare. Loved it.
Is that all you have to say? Because this will be a really short
announcement. No, I really do love it. I've saved hundreds a month. And overall, I just think it's a better choice of a healthcare program for me. I'm really happy with it. And honestly, normally, I don't even like talking about this stuff.
Nobody does.
But MediShare is different. MediShare members share each other's healthcare bills. We pray for each other. It's a not-for-profit, so we all save money.
True. Tell them about the thing.
What thing?
The online thing.
Oh, yeah, I used that the other night. MediShare members can now access a doctor online 24/7. You can get a prescription for the flu or something just that fast.
So MediShare can save you hundreds a month. You get to be part of the community. You get a huge network of doctors and providers to choose from.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
The final verdict from Jerry. So call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife like me, you probably know what it feels like to live in a fishbowl. You know, that feeling like everybody is watching your every move?
The annual AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat is 3 days and two nights of relaxation and building relationships. The retreat is hosted by Pastor Bert Harper of Exploring the Word and his wife, Jan. Special guest speakers will include AFR morning personality J.J. Jasper and his wife Melanie. The AFA Fishbowl Retreat is set for October 9 through 11 at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. Call 800-326-4543, extension 300, for registration and information. That's 800-326-4543, extension 300. Or visit repairingthefoundations.net. Registration is limited to the first 35 couples.
Get out of the fishbowl and into the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. We'll see you there.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
For the past 11 years, the owners of Cafe Justice have served coffee and muffins to judges and attorneys at the courthouse in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Carlo Mango and his wife have always paid their rent on time, and they've earned a legion of fans. Their small cafe is decorated with inspirational messages, and they play contemporary Christian music, an oasis for the courthouse staff. But it seems someone complained about the religious music the other day and all those inspirational messages. It wasn't long after that the couple was told by the county landlord their location would be put up for a public bid. And if they wanted a shot at keeping the cafe, they had to promise in writing they would not play any religious music. Mr. Mango hired an attorney to try to save his shop. Many courthouse workers have signed a petition, but eviction day looms. And should that happen, it would be a grave injustice for Cafe Justice. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Ask today if he still has confidence in Scott Pruitt, his embattled administrator of the EPA. President Trump suggested he does.
I think that Scott has done a fantastic job. I think he's a fantastic person.
But White House officials privately note this president has previously voiced support for other cabinet chiefs only to push them out. And CNN is reporting the president saw Pruitt's interview with Fox and was not happy.
Is draining the swamp renting an apartment from the wife of a Washington lobbyist?
I don't think that that's even remotely fair to ask that question.
White House officials have spread word they told Pruitt not to do the interview, but he forged ahead anyway. Now CBS News is reporting Pruitt wanted to use sirens on his official car to get through Washington traffic. And when a member of his security detail said it was against the rules, that person was reassigned. While a new memo from an EPA ethics lawyer suggests he only okayed the apartment arrangement based on federal GIF rules, but did not have all the facts to determine whether it presented a conflict of interest. As the Daily Beast reported, the lobbyist who rented the apartment to Pruitt had represented a company involved in a $104 million Superfund cleanup litigation against the EPA.
That's the first part of Ed's piece on Scott Pruitt. Sandy Rios back with you. I'm not going to play the second part because you get the idea. See, you listen to the news, including Ed on this, and Scott Pruitt, the head of the EPA, oh, he did this. Oh, he did that. Look what he did here. And so what we have is a campaign to destroy probably the most effective cabinet member President Trump has. And I think the best way for me to explain this to you is to read Molly Henningberg's Molly Hemingway's article on the Federalist Papers, because she explains it better than I can stumble around and explain it. So just do you understand that there is no one who cannot be destroyed by the media? It doesn't have to be true. It can be partially true or it can be completely made up. It doesn't matter, because they sling everything. When they go on this destructive path, they're out to destroy, and they want him out. Who's they? Well, I think Molly can kind of explain that better than I can. So she says, after Donald Trump, the individual in D.C. with the biggest target on his back is EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt. When he was Attorney General of Oklahoma, he sued the EPA more than a dozen times to get the powerful regulatory agency to stay within its legal authority. His nomination was deeply concerning to radical environmentalists inside and outside the media. As a result, he and his team have been under a microscope since even before his confirmation in early 2017. Well-funded environmental groups, many with former EPA staffers, deluge the agency with FOIA requests to catch someone in a scandal. Unlike how they covered Obama-era EPA administrators, media outlets constantly request information about everything Pruitt does, from his schedule to his travel particulars. Whipped-up partisans have made unprecedented numbers of death threats against Pruitt and his family. Powerful liberals opine against him. Some suggest the death threats are understandable. The Weekly Standard's Bill Kristol, who this week tweeted his desire for Michelle Obama to run and defeat Donald Trump, said Pruitt was a parody of sycophancy for supporting a conservative deregulatory agenda. He also thrice tweeted his excitement over the possibility of leftists ousting Pruitt. Fellow never-Trump enthusiast and Washington Post in-house conservative, really? Jennifer Rubin also expressed giddiness about him possibly being fired. And John Podesta, yes, the chair of Hillary Clinton's campaign, was given valuable Washington Post editorial space to say Pruitt must go. But unlike so many Republican politicians in the world today, Pruitt has not been deterred. He worked to scrap Obama administration regulations that exceeded EPA authority and harmed the coal industry. He rescinded confusing and contradictory water rules that hurt farmers and ranchers. He shepherded the U.S. departure from the uneven and horribly negotiated Paris Climate Accord. He is demanding specific scientific rigor for agency work. Pruitt is not some anti-environmentalist, but someone who wants the EPA to do what Congress charges it to do, to improve the nation's environment. He awarded $100 million to upgrade drinking water in Flint, Michigan, and began an effort to eradicate lead poisoning from drinking water. He committed additional funds to deal with EPA's botching of the Gold King mine release that polluted Colorado and Utah. She says, Molly, continuing in this Federalist piece, many Republicans either don't realize the problems of an unelected bureaucracy's power or fail to combat these problems effectively. Pruitt is in the final category, demonstrating competency and a devotion to the rule of law. And he has the courage that so many of his GOP peers lack, not being intimidated by the normal media frenzy that intimidates other Republican appointees. And then Molly goes on to cite Kyle Griffin, who is a Washington Post journalist, who tweeted, "By my account, five separate stories have come out in the last couple of hours about Scott Pruitt. That doesn't seem like an accident." That's the point. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not an accident. This is a campaign. This is what they do. Remember how they destroyed Sarah Palin. Remember how they're trying to destroy Donald Trump. Remember how they destroy any conservative. This is what they do. If they turn their sights on you, you are helpless. You're just helpless to defend. And the only thing that can help Scott Pruitt is the president digs his heels in. So far he has. He says he supports him. But I want to go back to the particulars. Molly traces all of these accusations that Ed Henry seems to go in and kind of delight in. I don't understand that, except that my understanding that people in the White House who are not friends with President Trump either, remember how I've told you the people surrounding him, now it's getting a little better, thank God. But let me read what Molly says. Supposedly few people in the White House are coming to Pruitt's defense, particularly if you don't count the president and his chief of staff who made calls of support to him. Oh, also, EPA officials considered leasing a private jet for Pruitt to accommodate his travel and security needs, but didn't do it. Yes, that's really one of the stories. The real reason for the media resistance establishment chatter about ousting Pruitt is that Pruitt tackles the abuse of the rule of law at EPA head-on and has been effective at advancing a conservative deregulatory agency agenda. By the way, the reduction of regulations, I have talked about it, maybe not enough, but Scott Pruitt is probably as much responsible for that as any person. Thousands of Obama regulatory rulings that have destroyed farmers and factories and groups across the country that have been draconian and costly, cost people their businesses, their livelihoods, have been reversed by Scott Pruitt. So just this week, the EPA announced a rollback of Obama fuel efficiency standards that were part of the Paris Agreement, were set too high, short-circuited the regulatory process, and were favoring pickups and SUVs over automobiles hit with the standards. So California, of course, now is blocking. And then she goes on to point out that the media and activists didn't treat Obama's EPA Secretary Lisa Jackson with any rigor, despite her demonstrable corruption. She used the alias Richard Windsor on email, which is against the law, that she cannot do that. She has to be fully transparent. She had a fake account. She broke laws, but they did not report that. She goes on to itemize that, and I'm not going to do that because I don't have time. Let me read this paragraph. For many people on the left, EPA regulations touch on quasi-religious views. They treat people like Pruitt as heretics who must be destroyed. That's fine and expected from the members of the resistance. These resistance members predict they will succeed in ousting Pruitt. They hate him and want him gone. They recognize that he's not just a problem, but a big problem. That's why we're witnessing coordinated hits on him. That's just part of Molly's article. And by the way, we'll put this on our Facebook page so that you can read it. Scott Pruitt is Trump's biggest asset. That's why the left wants him gone. So as you listen, and by the way, I don't think I read the part of her article that describes how people in the White House who are pro-global warming remember and hated that the Paris Climate Agreement was withdrawn from. They hate Pruitt because he's a big part of that. He had Trump's ear. And remember, Tillerson was a big Paris Climate Accord embracer, and he's gone now, but Pruitt is still there. So there are people inside the White House who hate Pruitt. So that's what you're hearing, this failure to, I think Ed made much of that last night in his report on Fox, that people inside the White House were a little lukewarm. Well, yes, some of them are because they don't really support their own president, and they have a different view than he does on these kinds of things. And so they hate Scott Pruitt as much as the left does. And that's the way it goes. So all right. I'm going to move on to something else because I was stunned by the just great comments and email that I've received in the last few weeks about shows or questions or just offering information. And I want to spend some time reading some things that you have written. Also, I'm going to open the phone lines. Let me start with this one. This is from Tyler. He is referring to the movie Chappaquiddick, which I interviewed the producer, and you heard the show on Wednesday, I believe. That was the first day the movie came out. And he says, how could you recommend that movie about Ted Kennedy without seeing it first? I could tell by your interview this morning that I have no desire to see it because it was written by liberals, acted by liberals, and produced by liberals. You can be certain that this movie is nothing more than liberal propaganda. So Tyler, I know I didn't see it yet. I met the producer in Washington. I thought it sounded interesting. I'll ask him lots of questions. I think it's worth a listen. I'm anxious to see it. It's funny how, it's funny. Think about it, Tyler. You criticize me for talking about it without seeing it, and yet you totally condemn it without seeing it. So I'm not sure there's a difference there. But I would like to know this. Have any of you seen the movie? If you had, it'd be great to talk to you. I'd like to know what you think, because I'll probably go see it this weekend. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. If you've seen this movie, Chappaquiddick, we'd love to know what your thoughts were about it, because maybe it is bad. Maybe I don't know, but we're going to find out. 888-589-8840. From Facebook, it's just interesting to me to see who's listening to the show. This is from Robin. She said, she used to listen to me in Chicago, and she said, we moved to Tennessee 2 years ago and was happy to find you're on at AFR, which is really sweet. I mean, that's really nice, Robin. Thank you. I was on the air in Chicago for 10 years doing the Drive Time 3-hour show as the third largest market in the country, and we did all kinds of stuff, and that's how a lot of people remember me. I started on Moody Broadcasting years before that as a co-host for Jim Warren, occasionally on Primetime America, so other people know me that way. So that's just a little background. This is from Judy. She met me in Banff, Canada, a number of years ago. And this is very cool. She said, I'd love to share with you what's happening in our province. And I'll share this website with you. It's cultureguard.com, cultureguard.com. Now, she's talking about her province in Canada. She said, it's thrilling. Hundreds of pastors are meeting for training on understanding the political agenda of the LGBTQ activists and uniting to make a united voice. Our pastors, Canadian pastors, have been bullied and threatened with lawsuits with the Human Rights Council. But as they come together, they are gaining courage. We are getting a block of $300,000 to support pro-life and pro-family policies. And that's just cool. Judy, thank you for sharing that with me, because Canada has been way far ahead of us in silencing and shutting down free speech. They don't have a First Amendment there. But the Canadians, are used to be able to say what they thought. It was a free country, and it really, over the years, has become so progressive, and they're feeling the pinch of that. This is from a teacher, and he says, Sandy, the Marxist wolf, the sheepskin of education. I listen to your show daily. I have a 13-year-old son. I know this is nothing new to you, but everything we are seeing in the public square is the direct result of progressive Marxist education. Like the Pied Piper of Hamelin, our children are being led astray, never to return. The long-term effects of Marxist education have been devastating to our Christian faith and decimated America's heritage of freedom. It seems to me more airtime needs to be dedicated to exposing this wolf of Marxism wearing the sheepskin of education. So he's just basically asking me to spend more time on this. He says, I'm afraid our nation will be lost. And he's very kind in his comments. Sir, I would just say, I'm with you totally. I started on radio, since I just mentioned it, in Chicago, I used to spend a ton of time on educational issues because it's not new. You know, we had under George Bush Sr., there was Goals 2000, which was a precursor to the nightmare that we're seeing in public schools now. And I was in the thick of that. My kids were still in school, so I took a lot of that on. I will, this is an area of interest of mine. It's just that I try to cover so much that I don't get enough time to spend on anything in particular. I just give you dribs and drabs. I give you, in some ways, I give you, hopefully, God willing, the things that I think are most urgent. That's what I try to do. But I agree with you. More time needs to be spent. We need to prepare parents and help them to know. I guess it's good to know that you're a public teacher out there. But I think, for the most part, I don't know if you would agree with me, but I would not have my kids in public school now. I would not have said that when I started radio years ago. I would never have said that. I had a lot of faith in public schools, but I don't have it anymore because the curriculum, the textbooks, everything has been so thoroughly obfuscated by the left. It's just almost impossible to counter that, no matter how good the teacher is. Interesting email from Jennifer asking me about the omnibus versus a budget. She's just talking about how an omnibus is not a budget, and according to what she's reading, the president can spend that money anyway once, as Barack Obama did. Jennifer, I'm not sure about that, but I'll ask that question and see if I can get you an answer. This is from a pastor, Sam Bailey. I listen to your program all the time. It's very informative. And he says the LGBTQ problem in the black church is huge. And that's from Pastor Bailey. All right, we'll be back in a second.
Did you ever sit down to watch TV with your family only to turn it off because of bad language? TV Guardian is technology that mutes foul language in real time while you're watching television. TV Guardian was born out of the desire to watch a movie with the family without exposing children or adults to coarse or foul language existing in most of today's entertainment. The closed caption feature within all programming is used to look ahead, detect the offensive words, and mute them. Using simple level filters and subfilters, TV Guardian can be used to filter content for your family. Religious references in mainstream programming are often offensive, using God's name in cursing. So TV Guardian offers filtering for those as well. More information is available at tvguardian.com/dish. tvguardian.com/dish.
American Family Radio is grateful for the support of TV Guardian.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each afternoon at 4 p.m. Central Time for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others every day on AFR.
What is the most important truth that you'll ever hear? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
What is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ? The cross of Jesus Christ just screams out, I love you.
Discover the power that is available to you through the cross of Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Abraham Hamilton III, and it really blows me away to hear how God is using the Hamilton Corner and all the other programs on American Family Radio. He's doing an amazing work here. That's why I'm glad to have an opportunity to ask you to partner with us financially during our three-day share-a-thon starting Tuesday, April 17th.
My name is Amy. Blessings from Minnesota. When other people talk about eating their morning coffee, I just say I need my daily dose of the Holy Ghost, and that's AFR for me. You guys are amazing. I'm blessed daily. I love being informed, and I love to know how to pray.
God is using American Family Radio to inform, equip, and activate our listeners to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture. Please partner with us in this important effort during our three-day share-a-thon beginning Tuesday, April 17th.
Thank you for being there for me every day. God bless everybody.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. You know, we have our share-a-thon coming up, and we love to hear from you. We really do. And so if you would like to sort of share your thoughts about AFR, American Family Radio, what it's meant to you, maybe if it's motivated you to get involved in some way, if you just have a story about how AFR has affected you or your family, then give us a call. Call 877-876-8893, 877-876-8893, and it will tell you, you know, how to sort of proceed, how to record your comments, and then during Share-a-thon, we use those. I love it, and it's a lot of fun. It's very encouraging for us, And so please do that, 877-876-8893. And speaking of phones, yes, we're opening the phone lines. I ask about Chappaquiddick, but now I'm happy to talk to others of you. I don't know if anybody's seen the movie. Nobody has seemed to call in having seen it. So I think it just came out Wednesday. So happy to talk about other things too, of course. 888-589-8840 is the number, 888-589-8840. Oh, we lost our dude that was going to talk to me about Chappaquiddick. All right, let's go to Sherilinda in Texas. Sherilinda, you're a teacher?
Hello.
Okay, Sherilinda, are you there? Sorry about that.
Yes, I am. I wanted to talk to you about teaching, Sandy. There is a gentleman, and I cannot remember his name, and I don't have his business card with me right now, but the company is called Truth in Textbooks. And he is trying to go through and fix, correct all the mistakes, all the lies that the liberal left is putting into our children's minds in the text, through the textbooks. And I am a teacher, and I don't use a textbook. For that reason, I teach English. And I use novels, and I teach them the way I feel that God has directed me to teach them. But I am going to help him to do the English textbooks because there are lies in those also. So I just wanted to let you know about him. I don't know if you knew about the company or not, but I think it's a very good thing. And people can get registered to be trained to of what to look for and how to let them know what the corrections need to be. And so he's trying to correct every harm that the liberal left is doing.
Well, God bless him for that. That sounds like an interesting interview, Sherilyn. I'll look into that. You know, when I was in Illinois a number of years ago, the state legislature actually passed a law where in the history textbooks, any mentions of God would be removed. And that included quotes from the founding fathers. That included, you know, some of the documents, the founding documents, any mention of God. The Mayflower Compact had to be removed from texts. I will never forget that. That was a long time ago, and that's what we're up against. And they've been doing this for so many years. I guess part of me wonders if it's possible to unring that bell, but I want it to be. So, Sherilyn, I appreciate that heads up, and God bless you for handling your class the way you are. What you must be teaching in high school?
Yes, I teach 12th grade English.
Yeah, I bet they love you.
Oh, I love them. I truly do. And I teach a small school district with a Christian staff, Christian teachers, and it's amazing. And it's not a Christian school. It's public school.
Yeah, don't tell us where you are.
No.
Don't tell us where you are.
I teach the Holocaust, and I teach them about Elie Wiesel. I teach them about what's gone on, that the Holocaust really happened. And they do an extensive research project. I teach them what's going on in Iran through reading Lolita in Tehran. I teach all kinds of books that probably are not really Christian, but I always teach the kids what real life is like. And the history books are even teaching our kids, Sandy, that the Civil War was not about slavery, that it was trying to equalize pay scales in America.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one. I've heard them all. I think I probably heard them all. It's disgusting. No wonder the kids don't know anything. You know, I was just watching. Thank you, Sherilinda. Thank you so much, and God bless you. I was just watching, you know, the march from afar in Scotland. At least why I couldn't, you know, not at least see parts of that. And I saw some videos this morning from Campus Reform interviewing some of the kids in the march. And the ignorance was just unbelievable. You know, there was a whole, like, I almost had Adam pull this. There was a whole series of them commenting on how the Constitution wasn't important and the Second Amendment's not important. The lack of understanding is amazing. In fact, that reminds me of an email I got from John, who says, the right to bear arms is replete in our common law since at least the Magna Carta 1215 and the English Bill of Rights in 1689. It has and always will exist for the purpose of restraining government to the will of the people. It is the taproot of self-governance, the inoculation of society against slavery and tyranny. Now, how many of your kids know that? How many of them understand the importance of the Second Amendment because of the very thing we're talking about, and that's what's happening in public schools? So They're being taught lies, and a lot of things are being left out, and this is what's happening. It's undermining our democracy. So we're going to have to turn up the burner on teaching our kids. You know, I have that. I face this, too, with my own kids, trying to unwind and unring so many different bells, trying to teach them, because my grandkids are homeschooled, and my daughter-in-law does a great job with them. But they live in a culture where they pick up a lot of stuff. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge for all of us. And I just say, don't be weary and faint of heart. You know, I remember, I may say one last thing before I go back to the phones. I remember being in the Soviet Union when Boris Yeltsin was running for president. And the reason I say that is because it was before the Soviet Union broke up. It was still the Soviet Union. And I remember interviewing, I was there for 2 weeks. I was there for the purpose of interviewing various people about various things. And every single person I interviewed, ballerinas, neurologists, drunks in a park, the head of the English language broadcasting at the KGB, I could tell you on and on stories that I heard. One by one, without me asking, they all volunteered that they had heard about God from their grandmother. They had heard about God from their grandmother. That it wasn't just one or two people. It was even Yuri Manayev, the head of English language broadcasting. His grandmother told him about God. And I say that because you have to understand it was illegal to talk about that in your homes. Parents, you know, their parents were already so far removed from that. Children were told to spy on their parents. It was the grandmothers who handed down the truth about God to their grandchildren. And so I'm just saying we may not be able to fix it all, but we can speak the truth. And that truth will have a life because truth has life, because God is truth. Our God is the God of truth. It cannot be silenced, maybe for a while, for a little while. Maybe they can kill everybody speaking the truth, hang them, burn them at the stake, but not for long, not for long. The truth will break through and we will be free. And so that's what we need to do with our kids. So be encouraged with that. Let me go to Joan in Illinois. Good morning. Morning, Joan. How are you? Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You.
We're having a little technical. I've been gone, and so I think our computer is kind of not set right this morning. But what's your comment?
All right. Well, just real quick, I think that people will be amazed if they will read NEA resolutions that are passed at their annual conventions. I have about 50 of them that are written up in a newspaper that is called Education Reporter that Phyllis Schlafly's organization put out, Eagle Forum. It's Education Reporter. They
yes.
have goals, and they list their goals, and it is for socialism. That's why our society has been transformed. The teachers aren't teaching. They are indoctrinating. They're change agents, and they say that they're change agents. They want to just bring a totalitarian form of government. Any group that opposes their goals, they encourage, and they will allow leaves of absence for teachers to campaign full-time. They encourage the teachers to promote their goals of social justice, overcoming so-called income inequality. All these movements that you see, I'll just read one quote.
No, you know what, Joan? You know what? We don't have time to do all of that, but you are right. And Phyllis Schlafly with Eagle Forum has been, God bless Phyllis, rest her soul. She was a good friend of mine. I learned so much of what I know from her, Joan. And this has been happening since at least the early 80s. The NEA has become, while we were sleeping, the biggest advocate of the left. Just disgusting, honestly. And 20 years ago, the goals that they set for the National Education Association were shocking. I used to talk about this all the time, Joan, and I appreciate you bringing this to our attention this morning. This is another story, another thing. Maybe I can do a show on this when we can spend more time on it. But thanks for reminding me. I appreciate it so much. Let's go down to Mississippi, and there's Artis who maybe saw Chappaquiddick. Artis, good morning. Michigan.
Hi.
Hi. Did you see the movie?
I first want to say I listened to your interview with a producer. So that was interesting, and I do want to see it, but it doesn't come out till today. I just checked again. Oh. The release date is today.
Okay.
And I've been hearing that on every advertisement that it's April 6th. So I went on the internet and looked for the release date, and the way I understand it, it comes out today. So I am eager to see it and find out what the movie has to say.
Okay, well, thanks for that correction, artist. I missed that. So I'm probably going to go see it today, too. That just sounds interesting. And we'll have to all talk about whether we thought it was good or not. I just don't know. Did you have something else you wanted to say?
Well, if I can, I didn't mention this at all, but the whole LGBT agenda, and I'm wondering, this is such a small percentage of the population. Why do they have so much power? How do they get away with what they're doing?
I think the quick answer, because I have to be quick, is that they are organized. They think about the plan of action. You know how we do our daily lists? You know, I got to wash the dishes, clean the floors, pay the bills. We live by lists, but the left has different kinds of lists. They plan your country. They are central planners. They have 20, 30-year goals. And they say to themselves, how would I win the hearts and minds of Americans? I would work, gee, through their public schools. I'll just choose this for example. So in order to do that, then we've got to take over the professional organization, the NEA. We've got to change the curriculum. We've got to brainwash our teachers. We've got to get the parents out of the schools so that they don't know what's going on. That's just one example of what they've been doing for the last several decades. So they expedite their plans, and they're very effective because the rest of us don't plan like that. That's the quick answer, Artis. And we'll have to talk about that again sometime. Artis, thanks a lot. Let's go to Kevin in Indiana. Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning.
Morning. What's on your mind?
Hey. Well, another trick they're doing in the textbooks is they're changing the dates, historical dates. They don't use B.C. and A.D. anymore, you know, before Christ. They've changed all that to, you know, another tactic to take Christ out of our lives. And you've got to watch for that. And when I'm on Wikipedia, actually, I have editing capabilities. If I see it, I always change it back to B.C. and A.D.
Good for you, Kevin. Making a mark wherever you can. Well, you know what? That has that kind of fit into say something, do something. You're doing something. I like that,
I
really.
Yeah.
Yeah. God bless you, Kevin. Thank you very much. Let's go to Clara in Texas quickly if you can, Clara. Clara, quickly if you can.
2 points. One, I agree with the man that said we should not watch that movie. We had limited resources and we should not be spending our money to support that. We know what that's going to be. We know it. Why do we have to go watch it and prove it? Number two, please, I did a email to you. I don't know if it got to you, but anyway, it is about you magnifying your calling with God. Please call this nation every day to pray to stop abortion, because if we don't stop abortion, we can't stop anything else. That is the clincher. That's why everything
that Trump
is doing.
All right. Thank you. I think, Clara, I don't know why you, you know what, there, if we, I'm not sure why you think you can't spend money to go see a movie. It's an entertaining movie. It's also educational. I haven't seen it, but I made sure that it was clean. I made sure of that. That's just something we do to stretch our minds. I mean, the books you buy, the ice cream you eat. I mean, you shouldn't spend your money on ice cream because that's a waste of time, too. I mean, I don't understand that logic. And, of course, abortion is important. But lots of other things are important, too. So we try to talk about all the important things, which includes stopping abortion. So I'm not sure why you're so sort of, like, angry with me. I don't get that part. But it's nice to hear from you. I'll be back Monday, at this dial, in this place. Thank you so much for listening. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.